Well, thank you for the discussion. Thanks for the extra experts you have over here in the room today. So any other questions? So thank you very much. Kevin, I'll turn back over to you.
When we shared our dinner last night and we did a timeline on this, we said we're going to have plenty of time for lots of questions. So I'm looking at my watch today and I'm going, wow, still got a couple more presentations to go here. So I'm going to leave it to the discretion of the presenters, but if some of the presenters know that it's going to be covered later by another presenter, maybe we can defer a question. If the question is very specific, maybe to a particular interest, then maybe we take it offline. I'll leave it up to the speakers to decide. I also mentioned that Hank might be in an unusual position of having to break his speaking to accommodate the coffee break, but where we are right now, here's what I would suggest if it's okay with the group. I suggest that we let Alexander get through his mobile ID and derived credentials presentation fully. Then we take the coffee break down, because this will be about, what, 30 minutes, depending on questions, and then we could break at about 10:30 for a coffee break for about 15 minutes. Is that okay with the group? We'll do that? Okay. Then I'd like to introduce Alexander Summer. He is the chair of Global Platform's Secure Element Access Control Working Group and a member of full member company Giesecke & Devrient. And we're delighted to have him here. Flew in late last night from Germany. So he's all over his jet lag and he's all yours.
Thanks, Alexander.
So, good morning, everyone. My name is Alex Summer from G&D. I'm from the G&D headquarters in Munich, as Kevin said. And I'm a technology consultant. My prime focus as a technology consultant at G&D, I work on mobile ID schemes and mobile ID technologies, and one of my working streams is in Global Platform to drive mobile ID technologies and standardization topics in this area. And before I dive in this very beautiful presentation about mobile ID today, I would like to make an announcement right here, right now, the Global Platform Mobile ID White Paper. This is actually a white paper which was worked out in the last month in Global Platform by a couple of members in Global Platform. We actually contributed in a white paper different topics about mobile ID. This white paper is ready to go. It is currently under Global Platform board approval, and it will be published in about 2 weeks. And today I would like to provide you some insights to this white paper now in advance. And actually what we cover here on topics is not only about technical specific things. We actually have some kind of market potential outlooks in the Global Platform Mobile ID scheme itself, how brings Global Platform value to the Mobile ID scheme, and what are the key use cases, and how you can actually implement with Global Platform Mobile ID applications. And in the end of the Global Platform White Paper, we have specific implementation scenarios actually mentioned, step by step, where you use Global Platform to make it happen, Mobile ID. Let's go to the vision of market potentials. We have a bunch of verticals where you can use Mobile IDs today, Mobile ID applications. I think a very prominent case in the U.S., in the United States, is the government-to-government use case with PIV cards, for example. Where PIV cards are used in U.S. agencies, federal agencies, to access federal network data remotely with a PC, with a desktop. And there's actually an initiative to actually use this kind of PIV scheme on mobile devices as well, which is basically a mobile ID application. Another interesting topic is government-to-citizen use case. You have today a couple of countries which are using kind of mobile ID to log in into e-government network services. I think in Europe, Finland is using this, Norway is using this. Moldova is using this. There are a couple of countries using today mobile IDs for citizen login. Another case is enterprise login, access enterprise network data with a mobile device. Mobile IDs behind this concept. E-health is also an interesting use case. There are actually some hospitals using mobile IDs for patients, where patients can actually access data records remotely from the hospital system. I think in France and Spain there are some systems running today already in hospitals. Financial industry, this is actually coming up now very eagerly. A lot of banks are using now mobile ID schemes like FIDO in trials to actually try out biometric-based schemes with FIDO authentication, which is based on a mobile ID to provide bank customers online services based on mobiles. And you have different schemes used today, which are basically mobile ID schemes in different financial industries. And what is also coming up more and more is in the commercial sector, using a mobile ID for retail business, e-commerce websites. And there are a bunch of use cases which might be compelling in this space. Age verification is one of them. You can actually perform age verification in online services. In Germany, it is used, for example, with the German EID card, the national ID card. And there is an initiative today by the German BSI to actually leverage this kind of EID service with the German ID card on mobile devices as well. So this means you can perform an age verification in the future with a kind of mobile EID scheme. Driver's license checks for car rental service is also a very compelling use case. I have seen some trials which are actually running today. And ID verification for airline on hotel check-in, I think this is also kind of concept which is currently under test in different hotel systems and so on. As even in the United States, I have seen some trials. I think this is very interesting that you have a lot of verticals using mobile IT already today, and this is actually also an emerging topic because more and more verticals and more industries are using mobile IT today and trying to use it in future systems. And the question is now, what is the mobile ID exactly? Especially if you talk about the mobile ID white paper in global platform, what we try to actually highlight here in the mobile ID white paper is a concept where you have an ID, like the physical ID card, transferred to your mobile ID in your mobile device. What you have technically on the physical ID card, the quite usual ID card, in your wallet, what you have here is basically an application, an ID application, carrying the credentials, keys, for example, or user information like surname and first name, birthday, and so on. You have basically this kind of data on your SIG element, and the functionality of the ID card is actually with the application installed in your SIG element of the mobile device. And with Global Platform, I mean, we use Global Platform today in the physical ID card segment. These kind of Global Platform compliant cards are actually also available in the SIG element. You have the same chip here, you have the same platform here on the SIG element in the mobile device, and it's quite easy to transfer an existing ID card application to the mobile device SIG element. So basically with this background, it would be actually possible to have this mobile ID application running on the mobile device, and it can be used right away with any kind of use case which is possible today with the physical ID card. And as you can see, there are different kind of physical ID cards used today. Even credit cards is a kind of ID card. Driver's license, I think this one is quite interesting because especially in the United States, you have a certain movement with driver's license cards going towards mobile devices. I think Iowa has a trial where a mobile ID is used as a driver's license in addition to the physical driver's license. National ID cards can be used on a mobile ID. As I mentioned, some European countries, they have a kind of mobile ID as a national ID card already used. Health card and company cards are very, very interesting as well in this kind of mobile ID scheme. And I mean, technically it's working. The question in this case about mobile ID on the Seek element is basically, how do I create a mobile ID in the Seek element in the mobile device? And basically, there are different ways to do it. And basically, it's also driven by the question, who is actually owning the Seek element and who is managing the Seek element? And I mean, technically, it is, I think, the classical way to create a mobile ID on the Seek element is the issuer of the credentials is also the issuer of the Seek element, and the issuer of the credentials is deploying remotely the credentials with kind of TSM services, remote management services, the credentials directly to the Seek element, which is owned by the credential issuer. And it's actually pretty straightforward. The infrastructure is actually used today also for other schemes like banking banking cases with embedded Seek elements or micro SD cards or UICCs, Seek elements on mobile devices. So mobile IDs can easily be deployed with existing systems today. And even in cases if the Seek element is actually not owned by the credential issuer, you have basically the possibility to be a service provider connected to the issuer of the Seek element. And with this service provider connection to the issuer of the Seek element, you can deploy your mobile ID credentials directly to the Seek element. In global platform, we have here the standards defined for the interaction between the Seek element issuer and the service provider. And with TSM services, you can actually install right away your mobile ID credentials. In certain cases, it's also possible to create your mobile ID directly on the Seek element by generating key pairs, for example, on the Seek element and getting this signed remotely by a CA in the back-end, a certification authority. You have basically this kind of model implemented in many mobile ID solutions today. Now, I would like to come to a new concept, which is, yeah? Yes, sure, sure. There are a couple of countries using this for national ID. As one of these countries is definitely I mean, Finland definitely and Norway. I mean, there's especially in the northern European countries, you know. Yeah, they have both, basically. And in this case, they have a contract with the MNOs, and the MNOs deploy for them the credentials on the SIM. Moldova is also an example. Moldova is using a mobile ID with Orange. Orange is the MNO in Moldova deploying this on a SIM card, and you can use it with all the use cases on the SIM card on your mobile device for national ID purposes. But basically, e-government websites is the use case behind. And I mean, there's actually a certain movement by countries today who would like to introduce this in the future as well. So this is a certain emerging topic that this kind of concept is adopted by countries for national ID purposes. Now I would like to come to a new concept. It is the concept of derived credential. What is new with this concept? It is basically the idea to have the mobile ID derived from an existing ID. And the existing ID is in the physical ID card, which is already in your wallet. And the interesting thing is here, the creation of the mobile ID is quite simple, because actually you have just to prove your identity with the existing ID card, and once it is proved, you can actually directly derive from this physical ID card a mobile ID credential, which is basically derived from the existing ID card. And today there are basically two schemes used in solutions, derived credential solutions. The first scheme, in this picture below, it's a local provisioning scheme. Very easily tap an ID card on your phone, for example, with NFC, and an app on the mobile device is deriving directly from this ID card a credential. It is reading out the derived credential from this ID card, and it is loading it to the SQL element of the mobile device, and then you have a mobile ID created from this physical ID card. And we have one standard for this, the 14890. It's a SEN standard. In Europe, this European signature card standard, they have actually now a new specification with a protocol which is called the Privacy-Based Chip Authentication Protocol, PCA protocol, which is actually defining this scheme to derive a credential from a physical ID card with NFC and storing this on a mobile on the SQL element as a mobile ID.
Is that the
14890 ISO? It's not an ISO standard, it's a SEN standard, it's a European signature standard. Yeah, sure. And it will also be covered by the white paper, which is published in 2 weeks. So, and this is basically a European scheme in this SEN standard. But basically, I mean, this concept is generic. It could be implemented on any kind of card as long as you implement the algorithm on the card side. Yeah. Please go. Sorry, can I say again?
What's the benefit of doing local provisioning for a derived credential based on a credential that's already on the device?
I come to this point in the next slide. I have a couple of things which is highlighting basically why the derived credential concept is so much compelling compared to the traditional one. I'll come back to this. I mean, technically, there's another scheme which is, I think, quite prominent because in the NIST SP800-157, there is actually a standard defined or a guideline for deriving PIV credentials for mobile devices from a PIV card. And this kind of scheme is based on a concept where you actually authenticate with your PIV card towards a remote system. And once you are authenticated, you can download a derived credential to your mobile device. It's basically generated by the derived credential issuer in this case. And I see for both cases, I see trials right now coming up. And it is basically a new technology for me. It is actually, the standards were defined in the last 1-2 years, and more solutions are coming up now. And now I come to the highlights here with the derived credentials. I see a lot of positive things with the derived credentials here. I think the basic feature of derived credential, which is making the derived credential so compelling, is you have basically already proven your ID with the physical ID card, and you don't have to go through a vetting process, validation process again, if you want to create your mobile ID. Because the mobile ID creation, I mean, you have in the traditional kind of scheme, you have to generate the mobile ID somewhere from the scratch on a remote system or locally on your system, on the mobile device. And for this process, you have to sign up a lot of things. And you have to go to an officer and you have to sign a lot of things to prove your identity. And with the mobile ID scheme, you have a technical scheme to make this validation remotely or on the fly automatically because you prove your ID right away by actually performing authentication or by directly tapping on the device by performing an authentication with the ID card itself. So you prove your ID that you are user X with your existing ID card. And with the mobile ID on your device, you can use right away the mobile ID credentials without any complex issuance processes. You don't have to perform an in-person validation. You don't have to sign up any contracts anymore. Actually, it can be done right away. The management of mobile ID is also, if the mobile ID is derived from an existing ID, it is easier to manage this kind of mobile ID credentials because the life cycle for this mobile ID credential can be directly linked to the life cycle of the physical ID card. This means you actually, if you terminate the physical ID card, the ID credentials, the derived credential is also terminated. So the lifecycle management can be basically combined with the lifecycle of the physical ID card. And I mean, for PKI implementers, lifecycle management is a big topic here. And if you can simplify the processes here, it is wonderful for the PKI management. This is basically the second core feature of derived credentials. Then the third bullet is actually referring security here. I mean, a mobile ID credential is somehow, for me, a kind of temporary credential, and it can be deleted at any time. You can actually even set a timestamp on this mobile ID credential. It is only valid for 2 weeks. Even if this is getting compromised on your mobile device, the security risk to have some misusage on this mobile ID credential is somehow limited time-wise. And the last item is actually about the flexibility. I mean, technically you can derive mobile IDs as many as you want. Basically, if you have a physical ID card, you can derive for any mobile device in your pocket or in your office, you can actually derive a mobile ID credential which can be used right away, and you can delete it any time. So you have a lot of flexibility here, and it is actually quite interesting to see that this is actually coming up now in different projects. And I mean, I speak now from one side as a global platform representative on one side, on a G&D representative. And I mean, if I see this from a G&D side, I see a lot of customers coming up with this kind of ideas to actually derive something from a physical ID card and how we can make it happen. So basically, this is having right now a big push in different market segments. It's not only the government segment. And the feature set is here basically is a driver here to make it more easier and simpler for the management of PKI and the users of PKI. Now, once you have the mobile ID created on your mobile device, the question is about the management. Here you have, at least, I mean, even if you have a derived credential, you have to manage it somehow remotely on the settlement, no matter if you have a smartphone, tablet, or PC. Once you have the mobile ID deployed in this kind on a UICC, which is a specific type of settlement, you have actually to manage it. This means you have to terminate this, you have maybe to deactivate this, reactivate again. And Global Platform has actually a scheme defined, which is basically the TSM scheme, a trusted service management in the back end. And this TSM infrastructure is already in place. I mean, each MNO has already a TSM running, and you can actually use this TSM from the MNO to manage remotely credentials on your devices. And for example, if you have a PKI in the back end with a credential management system and a certification authority, you can connect to the MNO TSM to directly download credentials or manage the credentials, termination, activation, whatever you need, update certain credentials like certificates remotely on the fly. The beautiful thing is you have here an end-to-end security. This means the MNO TSM has a security endpoint to the settlement. It is an end-to-end secured communication and cannot be intercepted by any entity, even the user. For the user, it's completely seamless and it's absolutely frictionless. You have direct connections, end-to-end secured, from your mobile ID to the back-end system. And even for the MNO TSM, it's completely blinded for the MNO because the endpoint, the real endpoint for the encryption is the SP TSM, which is owned by the PKI manager in the back-end. And this is basically today the scheme used for mobile ID management, and it's also the scheme which is used for mobile payment and so on. It's just today the environment which is usual for MNO, for the MNO and for the MNO systems. Yeah.
But a quick question. So you're saying that you do need an MNO TSM as a bridge, but is transparent in the content. Would the CSP TSM produced is needed an MNO to go through to reach the mobile, but there's no intervention.
Exactly. It's like a gateway, I would say, yeah. Communication gateway. You saw here the UICC case. Now the same applies for any other kind of SIG elements. We have basically the embedded SIG element here, a micro SD card as a SIG element on the mobile device. It's working the same way. We have actually, in this case, not the MNO environment, which is end-to-end communication encrypted via the OTA channel over wireless communication. But in this case, we use internet connection, and Global Platform has specified the admin agent, which is an application, an app on your mobile device, which is actually assuring that the channels are secured and the management is going from the TSM to the SIG element directly. All the management operations can be done the same way in this scheme for all the different end devices. We had now the management. Let's come to the use cases. I mean, once you have the mobile ID on your mobile device, what you can do with this mobile ID credentials on your mobile device? Basically, everything what you can do with the physical ID card, technically. This means once you have an application like, let's say PRV card application, if you have installed this on the SIG element, could be any kind of application, FIDO applet, whatever, you can use it right away with an application on your mobile device for any kind of use cases, CK email communication, web authentication, digital signatures. It can be even used with a PC. Technically, if you bind your mobile device with a PC, for example, with Bluetooth, you can use right away with your mobile ID the credentials for any kind of use case, Windows logon, and so on. There are technically there are solutions today used and even commercially in enterprise environments. For example, we have actually in enterprise environments normally the need to authenticate with an ID card towards remote systems, and even the Windows logon is secured with an ID card. In this case, a mobile ID on a mobile device with Bluetooth, it is working the same way. Once you are connected with Bluetooth, you are actually able to log in into the Windows system. And the beautiful thing is, I mean, you know, all the hassles with putting in the card, putting out the card is away, because you have your mobile device in the pocket, and if you leave your room in the office, you are automatically locked out. I have seen solutions this way implemented. It's beautiful, I mean, technically. And basically the same technology is used behind the scheme. You have a middleware somewhere between the card application and the application itself on the PC or on the mobile device. And functionally it's working with any kind of use case. We had already seen this picture with the different environments. Now I would like to come closer to the different secure components of Global Platform, RE, TE, and SE. And basically for mobile ID, you can use any kind of environment here. You can even implement a mobile ID in the RetroS, install an application on the RetroS with the mobile ID credentials. You can use a SIG element or a TE for storing the mobile ID credentials and using it. But I mean, this is a trade-off. You have to know what are the your security requirements and what are the needs in terms of functionality. You can use a SIG element for the mobile ID credentials and you are safe, I would say. You can actually even avoid physical attacks with SIG elements, and your mobile ID credentials, you cannot compromise this, or it's not very easy. With the RetroS, it's a little bit different. I mean, you have actually much more functionality here. You have much more memory space compared to the SIG element. But I mean, once the RetroS is getting rooted, you have not the assurance that your mobile ID is safe and it can be compromised and misused by certain entities. And the thing is, I mean, this is basically a trade-off. And we have in Global Platform, we have this wonderful TE in the middle, which is providing a lot of functionality on the one hand side, but we have also a certain assurance in terms of security. This means once you have installed your mobile ID in the TE, you can avoid or can assure that a lot of software attacks cannot compromise these mobile ID credentials in the TE. So it's basically a trade-off what you need on platform, and basically this need is driven by requirements, and the requirements I have here a list of assurance levels. This is basically from a position paper of Eurosmart, and they actually highlighting different assurance level for authentication use cases. This is basically the scheme which is defined in ISO, and I know NIST has basically a similar scheme which is quite in line with this one, and you have also other organizations like the GSMA, they have this level of assurance scheme defined this way for mobile authentication. And as it's going from level 1 to level 4 on different security levels, and level 1 is basically the need of username and password. This is basically the level 1 definition of user authentication and the security provided by this kind of scheme. And level 4 is really a hardware-based security with PKI. This means you can actually only use level 4 assurance for authentication if you have a hardware settlement for your mobile ID credentials and you have PKI credentials for this mobile ID scheme used. Then you can actually say you are level 4 compliant in your solution. And basically it depends on the industry to say which kind of level is needed in your scheme. We do it. Basically, at the end, I will also make some outlines on this one, but we have active work streams today working on biometrics with TE and to be in line with these kind of technologies.
We're at 10:30 now.
Okay.
I'm wondering how much longer you think before we can break for coffee?
I think we have 5 slides. 6 slides.
Maybe if I can ask so that we can try and keep on schedule, if Alexander can get through his material without questions, maybe we can have a break and have a few questions before we get to the next topic then. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Now, very, very shortly, just to get a common understanding, if I talk about mobile ID technology-wise, what is exactly the mobile ID in the architecture? If we have a look on the mobile device itself, the mobile ID on the right side you see the TE environment, on the left the RE environment. In both environments you can install applications on it. RE could be, for example, the Android or the iOS operating system, and you can install applications from an app store on this kind of environment, and you can actually even have a mobile ID application in the RE environment, which is hosting the mobile ID credentials. In the TE, the same scheme, you have a separated operating system which is isolated from other operating systems, and you can actually run trusted applications in this TE, and you can also install a mobile ID in this TE with mobile ID credentials, and you have a bunch of SQL elements where mobile IDs can be hosted, UICC, embedded SQL element, and smart micro SD card. What Global Platform is providing here are the APIs which allows you to use the mobile ID credentials. For example, a client application on the Android system can use a mobile ID on the UICC to perform a signature or to encrypt data or to make an authentication with this mobile ID. And Global Platform is providing the APIs here. We provide a SQL element API, a client API to access the TE credentials. The same applies for the TE side. We have a TE internal core API, which allows you to use credentials in a TE, and we have a SQL element API, which allows you to use a mobile ID credential in a SQL element. Now I would like to show you different application scenarios based on the different environments. Once you have a mobile ID credential in your REE environment, you can do it, and there are a lot of solutions today which are doing this. You can actually use the mobile ID credential right away and install it on all different operating systems from an app store, for example, without any limitations, and typically if you make a signature, you have to perform a PIN entry as a user or biometric verification as a user, and this is happening entirely in the operating system and the RetroS operating system like Android. And I mean, I have here a list of feature sets on considerations if you implement a solution this way. I will not go through all these items, but I just want to say you can do it, and it's working right away. But you have actually, in terms of security, a lot of risks. Once the system is getting compromised, you have not really the assurance what is going happening on the different end devices, and you can actually use certain technologies to make it a little bit more secure, like white box cryptography. It's going to be used by some companies to make it a little bit more secure, but in the end, you have not really assurance coming from the operating system. Is this actually a little bit different if you use a cKelement? A mobile ID is installed in the cKelement, and it can be used by a client application. The good news here is you are safe. For the mobile ID credentials, you actually have a tamper-proof environment on the cKelement, but you have still a weak link here in the solution. This means the PIN entry is done in the REE. This means when the PIN entry is compromised, you have a certain risk that this PIN is misused, and with this PIN you can actually misuse keys. But I mean, in terms of deployment, it is working right away with, for example, all devices supporting a UIC with a cKelement API. And the good news is a lot of devices support this right now. For example, in Android, all Samsung and LG devices are supporting this kind of communication. This is actually working today in many, many devices. Another thing is you can actually use the TE instead of the cKelement to host the mobile ID credentials. User interface is still in the RE. It's still somehow a weak link. But you can improve it by putting the TE, Trusted User Interface, here in the middle. We have basically today already in the field mobile devices supporting a trusted user interface in a commercial device. And with this kind of scheme, you can actually, you are secure. The entire process is done by the TE. You just get a trigger by the RE to perform, for example, a signature, and everything is done in the TE. Even better, the scheme with the combination of TE and cKelement. The mobile ID credentials are stored in a tamper-proof environment. Even physical attacks can be avoided in this scheme for the mobile ID credentials, and all the user interactions are done by the TE, like the PIN entry or biometrics, and you just get a trigger on the RE side. However, you have actually the need for a trusted user interface on the mobile device, a cKelement communication, and the TE. You can only deploy the solution if you have this set of functionality on your mobile device. But in terms of security, I would say it's a perfect solution. And actually, there are some first trials using this kind of concept, and this is working right now on commercial handsets. Not on all, but there are some devices supporting these features. Now I would like to come to a very specific scheme. You see how Global Platform is involved in a mobile ID example. This is a derived PIV credential scenario, line to SP800-157. This is a case where you have the UICC as a carrier for the PIV application, derived PIV application. And actually, you can use this PIV credentials for a network authentication towards the federal network. And you have in the backend system, you have basically the derived credential issuance system, and the TSM helps to store the credentials on the cKelement. And I have here a list of the different global platform standards which makes it happen. On the card side, we have a bunch of global platform card specifications. UICC configuration is one of them, the card specification, of course, and the composition model, helping with the certification of the cKelement to be in line with the requirements in terms of certification scheme. On the backend side, we have the messaging standards, which are helping to interact with the different TSM services in the backend. We have the end-to-end framework, which is actually defining the architecture of this scheme. And we have a kind of remote application management definition in global platform, how this defining how the application is interacting with the TSM in the backend. Basically, this kind of scheme is worked out currently by the GSMA North America organization, and the big MNOs in North America are driving this kind of topic to actually to provide services based on PIV derived credentials on the UICC. And this is basically a big push by North American MNOs in the United States. Well, now I'm come to the conclusion. I have a couple of points here to make. First point is, first message is global platform, this is not to be implemented. It is actually already in use. You have already the infrastructure. The TSMs are already running, and it has not to be reinvented. Mobile ID is basically an emerging technology. More and more mobile ID solutions are coming up now. More and more trials are running. And you have commercial systems already in place, and some countries already using this. Some banks are using this already commercially. And many, many sectors are actually pushing this and consuming this kind of technology. Mobile ID addresses different markets, and actually global platform helps here with the different technologies, including the C-Clement, the TSM, and the card specification are involved in this kind of mobile ID technology. And we have actually in global platform a bunch of things. It's not only about specifications. We have configurations, we have profiles, we have even certification schemes helping to implement end-to-end solutions and to make it secure and certified. This is basically now an outlook of the mobile ID white paper, and this is coming out in 2 weeks, as I said, and it is actually, it has about 60 pages and is covering a lot of stuff, and it is basically an outlook in advance. Yeah, thank you so much for your attention.